Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Hello and welcome. I'm Michelle Cotton. I work here at Midwest Genealogy Center. And I'm here today with James Riffenbach, and he is here to share with us during today's Veterans Salute event his experience with the military. So, James, did you serve in the military?
Yes.
And which branch?
Army.
Okay. Did you get drafted or sign up?
I volunteered for the draft.
Okay. And when was that?
The first Vietnam lottery was in the latter part of 1969.
Okay.
And I thought that my birth date would come up about 350th. Okay. It came up 13th.
Okay.
And because of family situation and not really knowing what I was doing, I volunteered for the draft.
Okay.
And went into the Army February 28th, 1970.
Where are you from?
Kansas City.
Okay. Oh, you're from Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you fought in Vietnam?
No, I was not in combat because of my civilian experience, and a Jewish clerk made 84 Bravo, which was a still photographer.
Okay.
And so.
So how long were you overseas for a while?
I was in Vietnam from December 1970 to right before Thanksgiving 1971.
Okay. And so when you went over there, did you have buddies that were with you that signed up, or were you essentially alone?
No, I was alone.
Okay.
From basic training, I went directly to the photo section at Fort Leonard Wood and served as a photographer there.
Okay.
Until I got my orders for Vietnam. And then I was, sent to Oakland Army Base, where I met a motion picture photographer. And he and I served in the 221st Signal Company most of our tour.
Right. So what was that like to be a photographer? Was it film, video, or just straight photography?
Mine was straight photography.
Okay.
And I worked some in the first unit that I was in the photo lab. And then when we got transferred to the 221st, I worked helping to edit a couple of films that were being made over there. And then I was a still photographer for the rest of the time,
okay,
doing a lot of portrait work and change of command, going home, PR photographs for people. And then I would go out and take photographs of, basically, as an Army photographer, we could take pictures of anything that we wanted.
And what did you want to take pictures of?
Sometimes we were assigned different operations.
Oh.
I did outside of studio work. I did everything from photographing rotted lettuce to photographing award ceremonies. I went to the 24th Evac Hospital on Long Bend and photographed a former POW that had been set free by the NVA while a colonel gave him his Purple Heart, and then, you know, went towards the end. We were breaking down some of our photo detachments, so I was helping with that.
Okay. So was this a positive experience? Was it scary? Did you encounter people that had been injured, and were you near where fighting was happening?
I was, again, since it was late or in 71, a few of our guys did still go out with combat units. Some of them volunteered to go out with Rangers to photograph ambushes and things like that. I was fortunate in not being in a combat situation. I did experience a mortar attack where one person was killed and four others were injured, but you know, for the most part, what I took pictures of was in safe areas.
Yeah.
So, but I worked with everything from a 35 millimeter camera to a 4x5 to a 8x10 camera. So.
Was it hard to get your gear? Take care of your gear. Did you have everything you needed to do the job? Or.
Yeah. The 221st was. A pictorial unit, mm-hmm. which meant we had combat artists, motion picture, still photographers, darkroom people, camera repair people. I had a 35 millimeter camera and a 4x5 that I used. And we had plenty of everything that we needed.
Right.
So.
Did you feel out of touch from events that were happening back home?
Not so much while I was there.
Right.
I mean, the irony of the whole thing, I was sent to Oakland Army Base, where we boarded planes at Fort Travis and then flew to Vietnam. And, of course, Berkeley is right there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was kind of wild knowing that here I am in the Army in uniform and there's Berkeley, the essence of the protest.
Right.
You know.
A lot of cultural change happening while you were there.
Yes, very.
Okay. But. Yeah. So what was it like when you returned home? Did you feel like you wanted to share your experiences, or did you choose to kind of keep those private?
I was fortunate, I'm into writing poetry and prose, and a lot of that is about my experience. And the guys that came home in 66 were heroes.
Right.
The guys that came home between, you know, mid-67 through, you know, 69 were, you know, baby burners and, you know,
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
When I came home, I was a ghost. Mm. The American people were so burned out that they really didn't care. I could walk down a Kansas City street in my, you know, Class A uniform. Nobody, you know, saw me.
Right.
Basically. And I went from Vietnam to North Hollywood, where I had friends, to Vail scheme for a week, to UMKC getting back into my BA work. And the cultural difference was such that I didn't talk to anybody outside of the family for over 6 months.
So did you keep in touch with anybody that you'd served with?
No. No, because being a draftee, as soon as I got back to Oakland Army Base, I was cut loose and put into a ready reserve.
Okay.
For the next 3.5 years. Most of the guys that I was with had signed up for 3 years to get photography.
Right.
And so they went on to other military bases, and I was cut loose right at Oakland Army Base.
I mean,
it was, you know, Vietnam, Oakland Army Base, 60 hours of no sleep, and then, you know, being cut loose.
Yeah.
So.
Were you happy to come home, or did you... Did you have new goals that you were ready to get involved in, ready to put it behind you, that kind
well,
of thing?
Well, I don't know if putting it behind me would be the right thing, but in Vietnam, when I was there, especially on Long Binh, the biggest military base there, drug use was... pretty much.
Right.
And about halfway through Vietnam, I realized that I wanted to get back into school and get my degree.
Okay.
And so that's what I focused on for the next year and a half, 2 years mm-hmm. after I got back.
Now, did the military support you getting your schooling and pay for some of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the VA benefits are fantastic.
Okay.
My wife and I have been able to purchase, you know, 2 homes through the VA bennies. It also helped not only help me get my BA done, but it also paid for... on the job training in the dental lab field.
Oh, okay. So what was your BA in?
English and creative writing.
Okay. And so have you pursued those activities over the years?
For my own purposes, up until about 3 years ago when I got involved with a group that had a writing, monthly writing thing.
Right.
And that has helped me get a lot of buried stories and emotions out.
Right.
On paper. And I've tried to get some things published, but the most important thing is I've been able to assemble some work and pass it on to our daughter and my wife.
Okay.
So, you know, that's been good.
Yeah.
So
that's wonderful. So you're involved with the Writer's Place right now?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's your involvement with them exactly?
I'm a member there, and then I've had a few of their workshops, like three... total of three of their workshops, and then we're having another one, a 4-Saturday workshop coming up.
Okay.
Starting next Saturday.
Does your work ever focus on military, or do you kind of like to diverge and write about other things too?
I've used it to get a lot of issues about Vietnam out, but I've also... There's only three of us in the writing group that are Vietnam vets. Mm-hmm. Others are post 9/11
right.
vets. So, and then the Nelson Art Gallery had a fantastic show about World War One,
right,
and how it affected the arts. And so I've written some poems about World War One, Afghanistan, you know, just insights to what it must be like,
right.
You know, must have been like, I mean, especially World War One, where as soon, you know, here the most, you know, the worst war that we've had is going on, and then the Spanish flu hit and wiped out millions. It's just...
So do you have a lifelong interest in stories about war and military?
I started one day at a bookstore. I was thumbing through a book about Vietnam and found photographs from one of the photographers I worked with in Vietnam.
Wow.
And so I started, you know, buying books about Vietnam and have found other photographers in two or three that
right.
I either worked with or knew because they had been killed. And in Vietnam, we had an honor board at the 221st of we lost five photographers coming back from Cambodia, and two, I think, were killed during Tet 68 in Saigon. So I've read, I don't know how many books about different
right.
Vietnam things.
I guess you've been to the memorial, too.
Oh, yes.
The big
yes.
one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like?
Knowing some of the names on the wall has been really hard because a while after I got back from Vietnam and things started changing, I realized that maybe I didn't do my part, because before I volunteered for the draft, I was very much against the war.
Okay.
And with having a lottery number of 13, I knew even after I got my degree, it probably would have still been going on, I would have been drafted. So I just, you know, went in. And not being a combat soldier, you know, I felt, you know, maybe some guilt.
Okay.
And so when I was 38, I joined the Kansas National Guard and spent 10 weeks down at Fort Sam Houston learning to be a medic. And I started that the day after I turned 40. And our unit was ready to be called up for Desert Storm and Desert Shield. We never were.
Okay.
But the medics under me and myself were ready to go.
Okay.
And that would have been quite a bit different, because when I went to Vietnam, there was really nobody other than, you know, my family back here.
Mm-hmm.
And for Desert Storm, we had a 5-6-year-old daughter and my wife.
Very different.
But, you know, fortunately, that war was over, you know, before anybody mm-hmm. knew it. So,
yeah.
But it's just too bad that we went back and back to Afghanistan, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how the people do it, you know, 3, 4, 5 deployments.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad died when I was in Vietnam, and I flew home for his funeral. And coming back, flying back to Vietnam was hard, but it was also good, because nothing was the same back in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that once I got back to Vietnam, it would be the same.
Mm.
And, you know, safer place in some ways.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting perspective, but I can see why you would feel that way, you know, going back to something familiar when your world back home was rattled.
Yeah. You know? Well, and you know, it's just like, you know, science fiction shows where somebody goes to a planet and, you know, while they're gone, everybody changes, you know, here, you know, it happens. And close friends that I had before I went, you know, we had gone separate ways and, you know, we're no longer close.
Right. So. Have you kept in touch with some people from military groups, and do you continue to be involved in that type of thing?
Not so much, because the guys I worked with had, you know, more time to do in the mm-hmm. Army, and so they went one way and I went the other. And, you know, I did get hooked up with the 221st website, which was the company that I was in most of the time in Vietnam, and did communicate via email with a fellow that I met in Oakland Army Base. We went our whole tour together in Vietnam, and then he was stationed in California, and then I left. Mm-hmm. Hadn't communicated with him since, you know, 1971, and this was like 2014, I guess.
So over 40 years.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
It was good knowing that he was good, you know, doing well. It was good.
Okay. Do you regret signing on, or did you? What would have been your experience had you not made that difficult choice?
When I first went into basic training, and some nights in Vietnam, I had dreams that my dad was dying and I couldn't get there. The ironical thing was, I was out on a river with a gunboat that was riding shotgun with a tug boat that was pulling a barge full of ammunition. And another fellow was taking motion pictures, mm-hmm. and I was taking stills. Another riverboat came around the bend, and as soon as I saw it, I knew that it was coming to get me. And they pulled alongside, asked if I was on board. You know, I got on board, took me back, got back to the company area, went into the orderly room. The commanding officer read me telegram saying that essentially my dad had died. Oh. And, you know, so.
So it was kind of precognitive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's too bad.
And there were a couple of times in Vietnam where I felt like I was inside my dad's head, mm-hmm. you know, seeing what was going on, because Alzheimer's was just, you know, tearing him apart. Wow. So, but I was literally going nowhere at UMKC. I had been in the art department for 2 years, mm-hmm. and just barely got into the English department, and then the lottery came along, and you know, I just, you know, let's get it over with.
Yeah. So have you visited other countries since then? And just, I mean, has your experience in the military how do you filter travel through that these days, you know?
I've been by land from here to California to through Mexico, Central America, flew to Peru, Bolivia, Brazil, you know.
And that's separate from the military?
Right, right.
So you enjoy traveling around and all that?
I did, and then I spent like 4 months traveling in Central and South America.
Yeah.
And then I also spent time in Europe and Israel, where I said a prayer to God and the Jewish clerk that was very instrumental in getting me my photography MOS.
Okay.
So I was glad that I could do that.
Yeah. So would you like to share some thoughts to the next generation about your military service? Like, what kind of words of wisdom would you like them to know?
Basically, take a grain of salt of when politicians talk about going into a conflict. I don't think that we should have been in Vietnam. Had we done things differently, we wouldn't have needed to be there.
Okay.
Same way with Iraq and Afghanistan.
All right.
But I was glad to serve my country.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for serving your country. We really appreciate it. Any last thoughts before we sign off on our session?
No, I thought that it was really good, and I know that I'm very lucky to have done what I did.
Right.
And the only bad thing is, my brother said one time that his brother never came home from Vietnam.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Just, you know, again, he was going one way and I was going the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us, Jim, today. And I hope you get a lot out of the rest of today's events. And mm-hmm. I hope you can return next time and be a part of it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This is awesome.
It's been very cool.
I never knew that these were going on.
Well, now you do, and I would like for you to tell some buddies and colleagues about it so that they can come offer their stories as well.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
Thank you.